And we're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN. Raleigh County Police Department is the featured focus here today. We've got Captain Tim Hagerty and Victim Advocate Coordinator Melissa Mosier joining us in studio today. And we're talking right now about sexual assault and the new policy adopted here by RCPD this week. And there was also a release on the 22nd here on the RCPD website about a new campaign that the police department is pledging to be more involved with here. It's called the Yes, This Room Public Awareness Campaign. And Melissa, maybe tell us a little bit more about what this campaign entails.
Sure. It's actually an initiative from the Kansas Bureau of Investigation. A little bit of background. Back in a couple of years ago, there was a statewide plea for any police department to release sexual assault kits that may not have been processed. And the Bureau processed those and recognized that there was a need for more resources, more training, and especially more dialogue when it came to sexual assault. The statistic here in Kansas is that one in five women at some point in their life will experience rape. And so the Yes, This Room campaign came out as just a way to begin dialogue about sexual assault and recognizing that in any room, if that's a room in your home, if that's your classroom, if that's your workplace, that people have been affected by sexual assault. And it's important to raise awareness and have conversations and just be even conscious of the fact that it's still happening in our society. So the KBI is going to be also releasing some activities and trying to, just as a statewide campaign, just to be able to have those conversations.
Okay. Well, that's another good approach here is, really the idea is to get this more in the conversation of people reporting rapes and maybe not just rapes, but also, a lot of youth experience sexual violence as well. And we want to definitely increase more of those reports also.
As well as from the LGBTQ community. They are an underserved population, and that's one of the grant goals for Melissa is to increase outreach to underserved populations, our Hispanic population, particularly the undocumented Hispanic population. Again, underserved, and from our perspective, and there are reasons that are obvious for that. So we want to, when we talk about breaking down barriers to reporting, we're not just talking about college students. We're not just talking about the typical demographic citizen of Manhattan. We're also talking about those groups that fly under the radar that are discriminated against, that don't feel comfortable for many reasons in contacting the police, because then the question of revelation of their identity could be compromised. So one of the key aspects of this policy is it's focused on privacy. And for us to release to someone outside of our agency only that information for which the person gives us permission to release. And another part of the aspect, Yes, This Room, it also asks people to be aware of the language that they use, the language that may make light of sexual assault, or that may focus on somebody's dress or appearance as being suggestive of someone who wants to participate in sexual activity. The scantily clad female or something like that, someone makes an off-color comment about, they may intend it innocently, but not realize that maybe a colleague or a visitor or someone who's in that room at the time may have been a victim of sexual assault and may be impacted negatively by what they say. So it's not just about an awareness of the need to report and the need to have dialogues about this topic, but the need to curb certain language that is not helpful in breaking down those barriers.
It's really changing the narrative on the whole topic.
It is, and it's so it's a cultural shift that we're trying to achieve. And with this policy, it's certainly not original. We didn't come up with this on our own. There was a police department in Ashland, Oregon, that first started down this particular road, and eventually a program developed that was called You Have Options. And there are a handful of agencies that have been recognized as You Have Options agencies. We haven't achieved that recognition yet, but that's one of the things that Melissa is going to be working on. And we do that not to get our name on somebody's website, but to promote the fact that we are taking a different approach that's not typical of police departments. And it involves a culture shift internally as well, as when we get a call about a crime, our natural instinct is to, we're going to investigate, we're going to develop a case against somebody, we're going to prosecute this, we're going to do everything that we can, we're going to collect evidence, we're going to conduct search warrants, we're going to conduct interrogations, because that's what we do. And to then shift in a particular category and say, well, maybe we're going to do that and maybe we aren't. We're going to check with the victim first. And so as I was conducting training within the agency, within a few days after talking to a particular squad of officers, I got a call from that supervisor. And they had a case that fit the definition of a partial investigation. And he said, this is what I think we should do under this policy. And I said, you got it exactly right. And so that was just coincidental, but it was an example of, you know, them understanding. And it's going to take a while to fully integrate this in our culture and to change that. And it's going to take a while for the community to trust us enough that what they read on that page and what is reported upon is actually what we're going to do. And we recognize that that's going to take some time, but we hope in time we will see a significant increase, because if we don't, then we've done something wrong and we have to examine how we've gone about this if we don't see an increase.
Yeah, that's something I stood out when you mentioned that on Monday. If you don't have an increase, then there's a problem here. And it's all about, again, getting people to increase reporting. What do you find is the most typical reason why someone is not comfortable reporting these?
Because it's a traumatic experience. And to report it to an officer and then to a detective and then to a prosecutor and then in front of a jury is reliving that trauma again and again and again. And it's not uncommon for us to identify a perpetrator, to have physical evidence, DNA evidence of a perpetrator, and for someone not to want to go forward. Several years ago, we received DNA confirmation from the KBI lab that a person named as a perpetrator, we were able to show that through the use of DNA. And so we reached out to the victim, and the victim didn't want to move forward. And because they oftentimes want to get it behind them. They simply don't want to go through it again. And that's another reason why the policy specifically talks about trauma-informed interviewing, that if at all possible that the interview of the victim be done one time by the police at least, and that be done by someone who is trained in what's called trauma-informed interviewing. And it's not the typical, okay, what did you do next? What happened next? What happened next? Because we find that there are often gaps that arise in a situation like that. Or when a victim would have an opportunity to escape or cry out for help or something like that. The question arises, well, why didn't you do that? Because for a layman or for an officer who's not familiar with what trauma can do, I mean, we've often heard about the fight or flight syndrome, but there's also freeze, where there's so much trauma and fear that someone is incapable of moving. And that often happens during these instances. And so people who are trained in trauma-informed interviewing recognize that. So they ask questions a little bit differently, such as, you know, rather than what happened next, tell me what you remember about what happened. What were you feeling at that point, as opposed to the dragnet, just the facts, ma'am, type of questioning? And it has been shown that type of interviewing produces as much as 35% more information and detail about the incident than traditional interviewing.
Wow, that's impressive. Well, if there is somebody, let's say they're listening here today, Melissa, how do they? When would they be referred to you if they are a victim of crime?
There would be a couple of ways. Of course, our officers would be able to share my contact information, as well as just in their reporting. If a victim, especially of sexual assault, were to want to report, they could contact our non-emergency line that's available to them. It's
737-2112.
And reach out that way.
Okay. Good to pass that information along to anybody who out there who is listening. Let's take a break. We'll come back more with RCPD here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN.